is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. This show has got Nick Saban and Bill Belichick on it in the last year through nothing to do with me.
Worked out well, both of them. They were good interviews, I thought.
I thought that was a great interview with Belichick, and it was like we were talking during the break that, like, that's the most you'll get out of Bill Belichick, first and foremost, because he's comfortable talking to Floyd. You know, when you ask a question about special teams, you know, he knows that you're not, like, when you ask a question, he knows you're not out to get him when you ask the question. And then the other thing is, like, he likes talking about special teams and, you know, the offenses in the league and things like that. What he doesn't like are questions that are like, you know, why did you bench Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl? He's not going to answer a question like that.
Well, and those are questions he gets every week, or got every week. You know, he gets just sick and tired, and I don't blame him. You know, gets tired of trying to answer the same question 15 times.
Well, it's funny because the Alabama, they ran that series like the all-access training days, Rolling with the Tide. And the Jared and the GM interview on the ESPN series is featured like A1. It's like the number one thing that they pull questions from Saban out of. One of your questions for Saban was, how do you coach the coaches? And when they introduced the new assistant coaches on the series, they had Saban talking about that. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I got out of that was, Saban did 100 interviews at SEC Media Days. We were just one of the interviews that Saban did, because you know Saban, and I think you're in the process of, you know, being a client of Saban's.
I am. Mercedes from Music City Mercedes.
MB of MC.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I said to you, everybody else was just asking Saban about the quarterback. Because Saban did 100 interviews, everybody asked him about the quarterback. We barely asked him about the quarterback. We asked him about Rashawn Evans. We asked him about, like, all this other stuff. And that, to me, is exactly what I think you get a guy like Belichick or a guy like Saban to open up about. Plus, you're tight with him, so that's the other thing about it. It's not like some guy, like, you know, me, that's out there. So there is one question that I'm sure that Belichick, if he were the Titans coach, would get a lot and would not, if he had an answer, would not give you the answer. And Eddie George is on a show called Titans Blitz, and Eddie was talking about, hey, it doesn't matter what the third down and distance is in this game with Tom Brady. This is what you have to do with Tom Brady.
You got to be able to get him off the field on third downs. That's going to be the key. Yeah. You can get him on first and second down. You can pressure him. But if it's third and 18, he's going to complete that pass. So you've got to win on third downs.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so important for the Titans to not just get pressure on him, but also make them one-dimensional. Because the last couple of weeks, they've been able to have balance. They've been able to run the football. And they're running the football with a wide receiver. Yeah.
So Eddie's talking about they have to get him off the field. They have to win third down. It doesn't matter if it's third and long. And I completely agree with Eddie, right?
Right.
How? I mean, it's like, okay, we talked about this yesterday. Okay, so they've got five guys. Let's say third and 13, right? Third and 13. If you've got one of the best defenses in the league, you should get off the field on third and 13, right?
Yes.
Okay, so they've got five eligible receivers. So let's say the eligible receivers are number one, Gronk. Number two, Edelman. Number three, James White, the running back. Number four, Gordon. And number five, Hogan. So Hogan's five. I was going to say Dorsett, but Hogan's better. Okay, they've got five eligible receivers for a third down and long. Well, you can't, it's going to take more than one guy to cover Gronk. So you got to put two guys on him. So let's say Vaccaro and Jayon Brown on Gronk.
Okay.
So now you're at Edelman. Who you put on Edelman? Logan Ryan? That's who you put on Beasley. So Logan Ryan. Okay. Josh Gordon. Who you going to put on Josh Gordon?
Jackson.
Okay, Adoree. I actually, you know, okay, that's not bad. James White, the running back. Can't use Jayon Brown. He's on Gronk.
Byard.
But he's got to be back. If not, Gordon runs right past Adoree Jackson. Touchdown.
We got to put another DB in there someplace.
Okay, so now Woodyard comes out of the game. Maybe your second best defensive player to Casey.
Who's left in there at linebacker?
Correa and Arakpo or Landry.
Okay, but inside. We have another inside linebacker.
Rashawn Evans.
We?
So you're taking Woodyard off the field, put Rashawn Evans on the field?
No, let's leave Woodyard on the field.
Okay, so is he going to be on James White?
No.
Because Malcolm Butler's got Chris Hogan, right?
We'll have to blitz and peel with the outside backers. If he comes your side, you got him. If he goes the other way, just go.
So now Harold Landry's going to be covering James White, the leading receiver of the New England Patriots.
Remember,
on third down and 13.
Behind the line of scrimmage, you can knock him down.
So how are they going to get off the field on third down? I don't know.
Third and 13? No, they play zone. Third and 13, they'll just back off and play zone.
That's the number one way to beat the Titans.
Now we got to get Landry and Correa or whoever's there to the quarterback. Now we got to put pressure on the quarterback, force him to throw the ball on time.
This ain't the Dallas Cowboys where that guy's like, I don't know, right here, right there. Tom Brady. This is hut.
How was that again?
Dude, Vinny Force the mic. Vinny Force the mic. Said hut.
That sounds like a first down.
Oh, shoot. It's like, why do they, how? Eddie, I agree with you 100%. Eddie is right. How?
I'll figure it out.
I don't know how.
Dean Pease. You got Dean Pease.
Hey, now Dean Pease.
There you go. What about his record?
Dean Pease went to New England in an AFC championship game and beat the New England Patriots. Now, he had Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, and he had those
guys. And with all those guys, you know what their record was versus New England?
Like 2-13?
1-5.
And that was the one?
Yep. I heard that somebody had their record versus the AFC South, and it's like 37-6.
And Peyton probably has all
like
six. Peyton has five, and Blake Bortles has the one.
I don't know.
Let's go to your phones. I don't have an answer. I want to have an answer. You know, it's like, we talked to Belichick about the playoff games, you know, the old Titans versus the old Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, third down and 13. Hey, Javon Curse and Kevin Carter will go get the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sick him.
That is a legitimate thing that Javon Curse can go get the quarterback. No offense, but this team does not have Javon Curse. They don't even – I mean, that defensive line that you went to Foxborough and lost a playoff game, the defensive line had Javon Curse, Kevin Carter, and Albert Haynesworth on it. And I forget who the other guy was. I think it was like Henry Ford or something. Like, Javon Curse, Albert Haynesworth, a $200 million player, Kevin Carter, a top five draft choice, and this team has Kamale Correa. Vinny Force the mic! Set! Eagle! Hut! Let's go
first
to your phones.
Down.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025 Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared is up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Go ahead, Jared.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. That was a great interview with the greatest coach of all time, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Listen.
Thank you, Fred.
I'm really excited. I mean, I think this is I am a Patriots fan, so I will be at the game on Sunday, and I can't wait. I mean, I obviously do like the Titans as well, but I'm there for the Patriots, and I just think it's going to be a good game. I mean, I think actually they kind of match up pretty good, but the defense for the Titans is definitely going to have its hardest test this season. But I got a question for the GM, though, and I got to ask you.
Yes, sir.
How does Bill Belichick have defenses that bend but don't break and never seem to give up that, you know, dagger in the back? It always seems like they can. I mean, and they've had great defenses, but in the last 10 years, are they really a great defense, or are they just a really good that don't allow you to score on them? I mean, is that something that it can't be taught, in my opinion? Am I correct? Is that something that you just have to find within?
I appreciate the call. They've had a lot of players, and they've been doing that, so I'm guessing it is taught.
Yeah, they teach it, but they also – we have to keep in mind that when you're calling defenses for New England, it's different than calling defenses for the Titans. I mean, you have the best quarterback to ever play on the other side of the ball. And you know that every game he's going to go ahead and score his, you know, 30, 35, whatever it's going to be. And so when you play defense, in from a philosophical standpoint, if you can just hold an opponent to a field goal every now and then, you know, Tom's going to go down and score touchdowns. So, you know, when it's all said and done, you're going to end up winning. And we were just talking before, between the 20s, they'll let you move the ball a little bit. Now, they're not going to let you go crazy, but they'll let you, you know, get some first downs and move the ball and get a little bit running the ball. But, man, oh, man, when you get down inside the 20, he's going to make it really, really hard on you to score. And consequently, you end up kicking a field goal. You know, you're happy. You got your field goal. You kick off to Tom, and about four plays later, they're ahead 7-3, and that's worked for them for a long, long time. But it's really kind of a luxury to be able to, you know, call defenses for those guys.
Travis is up next on our Bill Belichick interview. Thank you for calling. What's up, Travis?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, man, that's what a great interview from the best in the business, but. Here's my thing. What I heard coming out of the interview, and you tell me, Floyd, and I know Jared ain't going to agree with it because Marcus is his guy, and that's understandable. But, you know, most high-profile coaches like Bill, if he's facing a quarterback in which Jared thinks he's a franchise quarterback, Marcus, that is, he would, you know, that would be his fear, seem like to me, if the quarterback. Only thing I heard out of that interview he said about our quarterback is, he's doing what they ask him to do. In other words, he don't fear Marcus because he don't think he can do all things. He's doing what they ask him to do. That's all I got, guys.
Thank you. I mean, I started the show off by saying I don't think Marcus, even on his best day, can beat this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think there's something to that. But I think also he is looking at, you know, the rest of the team, and he realizes that there's going to be a need to add some players, you know, to this squad. And I don't think that surprises anybody. But, I mean, at some point in time, we're going to have to, you know, get a tight end if Delaney struggles to come back or whatever the case is. You know, we're going to have to redo the receiver group. We're going to have to, you know, help our offensive line. I mean, there are a lot of things yet to do with this club to get even, you know, to approach where – some of the elite teams are.
Well, and think about the times that he's had to coach against the Titans when they were good. I mean, it's a lot different when you're going into a game and you're preparing for Derek Mason at one wide receiver position and Chris Sanders at the other position and Frank Wycheck at tight end and Eddie George at running back. And now it's that whole list we just went over.
Right.
Changes. That's what Bill's doing.
Yeah. Changes.
Bill's like, okay, if I take the deep ball from Chris Sanders away by keeping my safety back, now Wycheck's going to be able to do whatever he wants underneath. And if not, Derek Mason is going to be able to run around.
Right.
And then I got to have extra guys in the box because Eddie George is going to run. You don't have that right now on this team. Right. They can literally look at the Titans on offense at Stephon Gilmore and say, okay, you lock up Davis. Now who are they worried about catching the ball? Especially if Taylor's out, which it looks like he's going to be out.
Yeah, I mean, we have to hope he's – what did he do? He hurt his foot?
Yeah.
Is that it?
But they didn't say what. I mean, he hurt his foot and went down like he broke his ankle down. So I think he's hurt. Let's take your call, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I don't want to feel this way, but I do. And I need Floyd's guidance. And we'll get to that coming up next. This Jared the GM are live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet. If you missed our Bill Belichick interview, we will replay it at 5:30. That's 5:30 for the replay of Bill Belichick. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game.
What's the biggest challenge in dealing with the Patriots? The flexibility that they have, being able to change things defensively week to week, and how do you try to game plan for that?
Well, there's a lot of issues. You know, when you get ready to play these guys, I think they got a number of players that are very instinctive, that are very in tune with what the game plan is each and every week. They're talented players. You know, Tom obviously orchestrates the offense, gets the guys where he wants them, when he wants them there. They work at a fast pace. Defensively, they're multiple. You know, they play a bunch of different fronts, a bunch of different coverages. So it'll be, a huge challenge. They're always very sound, very fundamentally sound, scheme sound, and they do a great job with situations.
That was Mike Vrabel. Apparently, Tom Brady has just had his press conference. Brady said he has nothing but praise for old friends Malcolm Butler and Logan Ryan. But you heard Vrabel right there when asked about the challenge. You know, the challenge of the Patriots. And you heard what he said there, Floyd. What did you think of what he said there?
He's right. I mean, it covers about everything. I think he's, you know, trying to get everything out in front.
Good. I just wanted you to talk while I sneeze for a second.
I saw that.
But, and more importantly here, it is a challenge. And the challenge for me is like eightfold. Number one, they have the best coach who ever lived, and they can adapt to anything on the sidelines, correct?
Correct.
They have the greatest quarterback who ever lived, who, even though he's 41 years old right now, is still playing at a level that may be best, if not second best, to Drew Brees in the entire league.
Correct.
They have skill players that are really good and do what they're supposed to do.
Correct.
They're a team that pounces when you make a mistake.
Your point?
Titans make a lot of mistakes. I don't see the path. I don't see how the Titans win this game. And they might. Hey, it might be like week four or whatever it was when New England got their butts kicked by Detroit on Sunday Night Football, an average Detroit team. Maybe. I just don't see it. I don't see the path.
Well, I mean, the path may not be clear cut, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I mean, you know, he throws a ball that's tipped that Butler grabs and takes for six. And then, you know, they kick off to Jennings and he darts it. You know, then they...
They're not going to let Jennings return a kick.
They may not. But, I mean, my point is that those kind of things, I think, happen all the time. And it doesn't have any... may not have anything to do with Tom. You know, he turns around and gives it to White. They hit White. He fumbles. We pick it up and run it in for a touch. I mean, that happens a time or two. And then you play good, solid red zone defense and you eat up the clock on offense and not let them get back on the field. Next thing you know, you sneak one out. I mean, that happens all the time.
I just can't. I know you're right, but it's like, you know, hey, what if the ball gets tipped, Butler picks it off and runs it into the end zone and Brady will throw a touchdown and make up for it. You know,
well, I mean, if you're trading one for one, you're probably right. But, you know, maybe you're not. I mean, maybe you've already scored 10 points.
Now, I didn't see a path in the Super Bowl either. I didn't see Nick Foles going out there and lighting up the Patriots secondary. And maybe Mariota can do that. And you go, you know, you go back and forth. But then you don't have the defensive line that Philadelphia had that forced the one big play that they had to do on the forced fumble of Brady. Like, you don't have that.
You right, know, but, I mean, Landry's capable of one of those a game.
Casey?
Landry, I was thinking. Oh. Of you know, turning the corner and slapping the ball out of his hand, as is Correa, you know, one time. I mean, their offensive line coach, Dante Scarnecchia, is the best offensive line coach maybe ever.
Better than Munchak?
Better than anybody. Because the talent of his players would shock you.
Oh, those guys stink.
They are not real, real talented group. But they have a method of pass protection that they've had for 25 years that he teaches to the nth degree. And those players, he brings them in and he teaches and teaches and teaches. And they get to the point where by the time he's done with those, every one of those guys are experts in pass protection. So, I mean, it's not like they're supreme talent in that offensive line, which maybe gives you a chance if you can isolate on one of them. And don't forget now, Dean Pease probably has a better feel where he sits right now for playing the New England Patriots than maybe anybody, because he's literally been on both sides. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been over there at New England for, I don't know how long he was there, 4, 5, 6 years. And he's been at Baltimore playing New England for 4, 5, 6 years. And now he's here. So I'm sure that he can look at that and say, hey, there are things here that we can do that maybe we couldn't do at Baltimore. And there are things that we would like to do that we just can't do here. So, I mean, he may knock out a lot of those, you know, bumping your head into the wall kind of plays because he just knows they're not going to work.
Well, you know what scared me, though? Belichick was asked about, you know, what about Dean's defenses remind you of the Baltimore defenses? And Belichick said that the defense reminds him more of the Houston defense than it does the Baltimore defense.
Yeah.
Well, whose defense is that in Houston?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think if you look, you know, Romeo came through there.
That's his defense.
Yeah, Romeo brought all
that
of those things.
That scares me. Because well, yeah, the Bill has all the answers to your test.
It's the same thing that Dean has been using for, I mean, between Vrabel and Romeo and Bill and Dean and I'm sure there are some other guys in there that have been defensive coordinators someplace. Oh, Maddie at Detroit. I mean, all those guys are going to run basically the same scheme, you know.
Saban,
to an extent, yeah, absolutely.
What is that scheme? Like, why is it more the Texans than the Ravens, according to Belichick?
Well, I'm sure the Ravens, you know, when Dean went there, he brought, I'm just going to say 50%. I have no clue. Mm-hmm. 50% of the New England stuff with him, and there was 50% of the old Baltimore stuff still there.
You mean to where everyone else takes up the block so Ray Lewis can do the tackling?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And so I'm sure when he went there as the coordinator, not wanting to mess a lot up, he probably adjusted a lot of what he was doing to account for the veteran players they had and what they had done and been good at. Now, like somebody like Romeo, even though he's bounced around a lot, I'm going to guess that there is an awful lot of Bill and the things that Bill has done simply because, you know, he's never been in many places that were really, really good enough that, you know, you would change your style for.
615-737-1025. I need help from the callers. Floyd at least has a little optimism on this game. Now, I think this is a bonus game. So even if you lose, like, I'm fine with it as long as you don't get too hung up on it. I mean, even if you lose 52-7, if we move on to Indianapolis on Tuesday, I'll be fine. But I just don't see the path. Am I respecting the Patriots too much? Do I have a lack of faith in the Titans? I mean, I have believed in the Titans all year that they could win the division, and I remember when they played Jacksonville after Jacksonville beat the Patriots, and I said, they're going to beat Jacksonville, and you said, you laughed at me and everything, and I believed then, but I got nothing for you. I got nothing for you. Because the second you get just a little positive momentum, here comes 53's the mic! 53's the mic! 53's the mic! Set! Hut! Ding!
First down.
Every time. I have nothing. I have nothing. I have nothing in this game. Last year, you started as good as you could start in that playoff game. That being a game that I also thought you had no chance in. And it took one Brendan Trawick neutral zone infraction and one bad Eric Decker offensive pass interference that should not have been called. And all of a sudden, it turned into a rear end kicking.
And this one's going to be that close. I mean, the same kind of thing.
Neutral zone infraction.
It's going to be, yeah. You get a holding penalty and void a, you know, 30-yard touchdown pass. Might end it right there.
And so that's my thing. I just don't see the path. Let's take your phone. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. And if they do it, if they pull off the upset, one, how will they do it? And two, what will it mean for the team and the franchise? We'll get into that up next here on Jared and the GM. Hey, we're bringing you Nashville's best college football preview show, the Saturday Tailgate. Join Nick Cale and Julian Council every Saturday, 9 to 11, only on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Mafiosa's Pizzeria and Neighborhood Pub. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game.
Well, it's a great opportunity. We have a chance to continue to build off of what we've done. It's the next opponent in our season, and looking forward to it.
It is a great opportunity. I'm trying not to be, you know, Mr. Negative today. I just don't see the path. But imagine if they do win.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
If they beat the New England Patriots in November, it'll be like oh my God, just throw a parade.
Well, we talked about this in the first part of the year, you know. Well, we're going to have a chance to beat Miami, but there's no way we're going to beat, you know, through Jacksonville, and you know, then you got the Texans, and then you got Philadelphia, and like I said, they ended up playing best against the better team. So who knows?
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy that though. Like I would say this: if the Titans win this game, there will be no excuse for dropping off and losing to Indianapolis the next weekend. Like, zero excuse. Zero. And if they win it, it'll tell me that the Titans can compete for the AFC. That the Titans' defense is good enough to put them in position to maybe play for the Super Bowl.
Whoa, now. Let's go.
I told you they have no chance.
You just went from a no chance to win to the Super Bowl.
I said, if they win, if you can beat the Patriots, who can't you beat?
I mean, there aren't many teams. You should have a chance against most teams, absolutely.
And then that tells me you're in the class with Kansas City and Pittsburgh and everybody else in the AFC, and that you just have to go out there and let your defense be the 2000 Ravens defense, and then you're good to go.
Okay.
Now,
we got it.
I have a hard time, like, looking at the Titans defense and thinking that this is truly an elite defense.
Yeah, but
you know, the Titans defenses you used to have, those had pass rushers, and that was a legit defense.
And that's why you can't think of this as an elite defense. But that being said, I think when you look at them as a unit, they are pretty good. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a lot of work to do in some areas, but still, I think you take into consideration the situation that we've put them in several times and how they've kind of bailed themselves out. I mean, they've been pretty good at all that.
Let's go back to your phone, 615-737-1025. Charlie is up next. Charlie, go ahead.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. You know, it's not like Saban, where he's beaten everybody that he's used to coach with. Belichick's record against the old coaches that he's worked with, is a little over 500, you know. And plus, Sunday's my birthday. My favorite team is the Patriots, so I figured it'd be, you know, they'll lose to the Patriots. You know, you asked if there was a chance that they could win and why the reason would be, and that's the only thing I could think of. But I really don't think that the Titans will beat them. But I love Vrabel. He's one of my favorite players ever. The fact that he could do anything, just like, I love that conversation y'all had a while ago with Coach Belichick. I didn't even know that he was going to be on. I turned across there and I was like, man, I recognize that voice. And I was like, that was absolutely awesome. And I know Coach Reese's history with him back with the Purple People. You know, y'all go back to the Lions and whatnot.
Yes,
and that was absolutely incredible. I love hearing that kind of stuff. And he's always been very respectful to you. I know he thinks a lot of you, and the fact that he would come on y'all show and talk to you like that means a lot to me as a listener, and that was really cool. So
thanks, Charlie.
I love the Titans, and I love the Patriots too. So
yep.
It's a win-win for my birthday.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Charlie.
Birthday.
I will say
thanks,
this.
Thanks, Charlie.
Belichick's record, and I don't have it in front of me, against former – first of all, the difference is Vrabel's not a former coach of Belichick's. People
right.
keep – like, he's not – Eric Mangini, he's not Josh McDaniels, he's not Bill O'Brien, he's not a former coach.
No, he's never coached with Bill.
No, he's never been on Belichick's staff.
Right.
Yeah, he used to play for Belichick, but that would be like saying, you know, I'm trying to think of an example of a guy who's coaching now. You know, Peter Sermon never coached on Jeff Fisher's staff.
Right.
So that's like something that I always look at. But yeah, I'm sure Belichick's record against those guys is really, really good. You know, I'm not here one way or another to say what it is or isn't, but I mean,
I don't know
sure
what it is
probably
either.
Pretty good,
you know. But his record's pretty good against about everybody.
Yeah,
so
it's
probably
not
a pretty good assumption.
I'm not ready to sit there and say. I mean, the truth is, I think Vrabel. I don't worry about the coaching difference between Vrabel and Belichick. I don't think coaching is going to factor into this game. Really, I think it's about, unless Belichick makes adjustments to something that Vrabel figures out, and it's going to happen really quickly. I would say that it's just, I don't think you have the, again, I go back to this. Gronk, Edelman, James White, Hogan, Josh Gordon. You don't have enough guys defensively to be able to cover those guys long enough if you don't have the pass rush to get to the quarterback. If Javon Kearse and Kevin Carter were rushing off the edge in this game, I'd feel really great about Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, and Malcolm Butler.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. So when he gets to stand back there, one of those guys is going to get open. That's why I don't think your scoring defense in the red zone amounts to anything in this game, because he's going to be able to stand back there and wait for that one guy that he knows is going to get open, because he can, okay, well, eventually when this they'll cross and the guy will get caught up on the pick, and then boom, touchdown.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of zone dog or you know, five-man rush or something that he can that Dean has in his pocket that he's felt good about for a while. And if there's, you know, if he brings that out at the right time, maybe you get a play or two out of it. And in a game that's, you know, hopefully as tight as this one's going to be, I mean, those couple of plays may be gigantic. I mean, I know it's a lot of hoping and wishing and praying, but, I mean, that's the way it is most weeks.
Brenda is up next here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Brenda?
Hey, I just wanted to tell you guys what such a good radio station 102.5 is. And you guys in particular, you know your stats. You know this and that. I don't know stats of the Predators or the Titans. I just know I love those two teams because they're my teams. But you as a radio station, you're excellent. You're not idiots. And you don't poke fun at people. Unless, of course, they need it.
Thank you, Brenda. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Brenda. They're very kind.
What do you think provoked that?
She's a nice lady.
I figured it was going to be like when she started talking about a great radio station, like, and that interview with Coach Belichick was a great interview. Oh, and I was like, so I was figuring, okay, yeah, like, cool. That's, you know, whatever. That's how it should work. But I guess not. Yeah. Well, we appreciate it. And we love Brenda. She loves the Predators. So we love her.
Oh, yeah.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. There's one thing that I have no reason to expect out of the Titans in this game, but I am going to expect it. I don't know why, but I'm going to. Plus, I feel comfortable about crossing an AFC competitor off of the list after what I'm seeing right now, although it does come from Jason LaCanfora, so make of that what you will. We'll get to that coming up next as well. It's Jared and the GM live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game National app.
A lot of it is he's got to prove something to himself along the lines of what you're talking about. If you're struggling throughout the course of the year and you're giving up those touchdowns, you're making them look like they did the right thing. We got to try and flip this switch here, flip the script if you're Malcolm Butler, and start playing good again and saying, yeah, we can struggle, but I bounce back and I still am a quality corner that is worth the contract that I was signed, and also the worth about the reputation in terms of you can all look to me as someone who can stop a number one wide receiver.
That was Teddy Bruschi on ESPN talking about Malcolm Butler. Everybody is down on Malcolm Butler except apparently Tom Brady, who said he was really happy for Malcolm that he landed a really good contract.
You know what's interesting, though? Think about this. I was just watching this week. I've been watching after the Rams' defeat. Did you see who they're blaming for that?
Marcus Peters.
There you go. Big-time corner, big-time contract, big-time. Aqib Talib gone. IR'd. Big-time corner, big-time contract, big-time. I mean, you start thinking about it, there's a bunch of those guys that were signed to big-time contracts that, you know, are kind of struggling a little bit.
Well, I just don't think that Butler's that bad. You know, like, I think that you see the long touchdowns that are undisciplined plays, and I'm like, okay, like, that's an undisciplined play. But when he plays more discipline, he will be a much better player. It's like there's a difference between a guy that's not good and a guy that plays undisciplined. And even Julian Edelman came out this week, and Julian Edelman was asked about Malcolm Butler, and he called him a stud. He said, just because of the sheer fact of how competitive he is and how serious he takes practice, I believe he is one of the premier corners in the league. Now, I wouldn't expect Edelman to come out and say that Malcolm Butler's a bum, but he said, quote, Malcolm's Malcolm. He's a strong player who plays the ball well in the air. He's gotten beat a couple times, but that's the nature of his game. He's a real aggressive player that competes, plays the ball well through your hands. He's long upper body. He's got the ability to make up speed with the ball in the air while looking back. A lot of corners can't do that. I've got a lot of respect for Malcolm. He's a hard player that competes, and his road where he's got shows how hard he works. He's a stud.
Yeah, I think this is what has happened with Malcolm compared to what it was at New England. He went into New England as a nothing. Free agent. West Alabama. I mean, literally.
Sixth on the depth chart.
Yeah, literally, you know, can't make, no chance to make the club. Fought and scratched and did everything exactly the right way and listened to the coaches and, you know, did it perfectly. Played with effort, practices with effort, all that kind of stuff. Then he gets to a point where, you know, he goes and wins a Super Bowl for his team. And I think he started from there. And I think he, in his mind, it was like, I don't need to go back to, you know, where I was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a Pro Bowl caliber player, and I just signed this big contract. Well, no, you need to. You're starting with the mistakes and are fighting your way up to doing it right instead of doing it right. And then every once in a while, you're going to, you know, lose concentration or you're going to let a guy get a little bit of separation, but you've got enough speed to close it up. Well, I think he's approached that whole thing incorrectly.
So they've shown, like, the fans are out on Malcolm Butler right now.
Sure.
I think Malcolm's going to have a good game this week. If there was ever a good game for Malcolm to turn it around, this is it. And I know Brady's going to test him because they've seen the undisciplined stuff on tape too.
Oh, yeah.
I think Malcolm's going to have a good game. I really do.
Yeah. I think, I agree with you. If there was ever a game that he wanted to play well for the home crowd, you know, to show the Patriots that they made a mistake and on and on and on, this would be it.
You don't seem as optimistic as I do, though, that he's going to have a good game.
Well, yeah, I don't know if he is or he isn't, but I think, I mean, if it's all his intention that he's going to, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I'll bet he's practiced hard all week long. I'll bet he's pumped up and ready to go. You know, I mean, it'll be important to him.
I mean, I think Malcolm Butler is going to have a good game.
You heard Jules talk about how competitive he was in practice. Mm-hmm. So that'll give you an idea of, you know, what he's been thinking this whole week.
First day I went to practice this, like for training camp this year, there was a pass for Corey Davis. Malcolm jumped in front of Corey Davis, grabbed the ball, intercepted it, yelled, "That's how I make my money," and punted the ball in the air.
Yeah, see, that's
what you're going to see this week.
Well, and that's part of the deal, you know. And I have no idea what the coverage was, and I have no, it may have been fantastic coverage. It may have been a guess. But, you know, he's right. That's the way, you know, him playing solid and then guessing periodically was the way he got the interceptions that got him to the Pro Bowl or whatever it was. Well, coming here after the big contract, he's reversed that. Not on purpose. I mean, he wants to do it right, but, you know, thinking, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get this interception, show these guys, you know, what I can do. And he hasn't gotten there yet. So maybe this week.
So, again, the other big thing to watch, is Gronk gonna play? And we don't know the answer to that.
No.
So, apparently, Joe Flacco has a bad hip and is getting tests done on his hip, and it may require surgery, according to Jason LaCanfora of CBS, that Flacco may require hip surgery. If Flacco has hip surgery, I think that probably means he's out for the year.
Oh, I would think, yes.
Hips are, you know, the kind of...
Yeah.
That means Lamar Jackson is the starting quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens.
That could be.
Goodbye, Baltimore.
Yeah.
Don't worry about them. Do you worry about... Because I still think if the Titans play their cards right, they could get back into the wild card discussion. If Lamar Jackson is the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, are you ready to write their season off?
Oh, pretty much, yeah. I think it'd be a real, real struggle.
And that's one of the big teams because they've got the tiebreaker over you, so you need them to lose.
Yeah. Well, they had, I tell you, they had the last hierarchy of the playoffs that I saw. I think we were 8. And, of course, Baltimore was one of those teams ahead of us. And we got to get to 6. So that means there's one team, which happens to be, I think, Miami, that's ahead of us. And
but if they keep playing Brock Osweiler, they'll lose enough, too.
And then maybe you got a chance. Who knows?
So Kevin Byard had a quote today. That I'm reading off the New England Sports network, Nesson.
Yeah.
Quote, we all want a piece of Gronk. But in the end, it's not just about Gronk. It's about winning the game. That's a good quote. Great. Mm-hmm. It's about doing what we have to do to win the ball game. If he plays, he plays. We're going to try to do our best to stop him, but if he doesn't, then we'll lock everybody else up. Fired.
Okay.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Find a way.
I feel bad for Byard, though, because if you criticize him for saying, you know, hey, if he doesn't, we'll lock everybody else up, as that's the way they need to think. But if you criticize him, then he's going to go like everybody else and never say anything interesting. So I don't want to criticize him. But that is something that you know that they'll probably circulate in the New England. Oh, yeah, Byard says he'll lock all of us. Did you not watch playoffs last year? Yeah. Went up there, it was,
and that's Dole not, yeah,
100
that's,
yards or whatever.
You know, he just has to keep in mind that when he talks like that, it's not just for him. I mean, it's for everybody that puts that blue helmet on. And there are a bunch of those guys that are saying, whoa, whoa, whoa now.
Yeah, I don't see Wesley Woodyard coming out saying, yeah, we're going to stop everybody.
Let's chill there. You know, let the sleeping dog lie. We need to go ahead and play well and pray.
Well, everybody can talk about Byard going to the star and the motivation and the, you know, that very easily could have motivated the Cowboys to go out there and kick your rear end.
Oh, yeah.
If they had anything but a coach who just wanted to clap his hands all the time, it might have been, that may have been what happened.
Easily, yeah.
And so that's part of it. Okay, three up, three down. Three things the GM wants to see. Three things the GM does not want to see in Sunday's game against the Patriots. Plus, if you missed our interview with Bill Belichick, we will replay it at 5:30. Coach Bill Belichick will join the show. My new house is a lot like Coach Belichick. And the fact that I know I can trust my plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical work because I'm a member of the Happy Hiller Club, and you should be too. That's right. And just like with Coach Belichick and his draft picks, he does not pay too much. Guy's making too much, he's got to go. That's what I know I'm getting with Happy Hiller, because with the Happy Hiller Club, they have true transparency pricing, which tells you what you're paying for and why you're paying for it. So while other guys may charge a little bit cheaper in order to get into their membership, they're not going to slam you on the back end like those guys are at Hiller. That's why I'm so proud in my new house that I'm a member of the Happy Hiller Club. I love it, and I love going to Preds games when they have the smile cam and telling people how happy I am that I'm a member of that Happy Hiller Club. It's fantastic, and if you need to be even happier this weekend than you already are because it's the weekend, just think of joining the Happy Hiller Club, and that should put a smile on your face. Call Hiller, the Happy Face Truck, today. Jared, the GM, ESPN 102.5, The Game.